you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from Baker's Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader this year.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because the guy reads comics he can't...
I'll fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse down and running.
Hello, Joe.
Hey,
hello.
How's it going?
What's up?
How you feeling?
Rested.
I wish I was rested. Oh, a long fucking week.
You said you got arrested?
Well,
yes, arrested.
He keeps on flashing himself in public, so.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to make a different arrested pun, but okay.
Let's all just pile on, everybody.
Public indecency. That's...
Yeah, oh, there we go. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? What were you going to go with?
He is indecent in public, so.
Indeed.
I was going to say I've been arrested by the news. Segue gracefully.
You're being far too clever for the likes of this program.
Hold on. Let's talk about what he just said. First of all, you said you were going to segue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said gracefully.
Yeah.
That ham-handed segue you thought was in some way graceful?
Comparatively, yes.
It may have been graceful had I not made a joke about you showing your penis in public.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of the Flash,
there you go.
See? You guys caught up on the program there.
I have not seen last night's episode.
We should table that conversation until we get into that longer, bigger topic.
So D&D is that
we're going into that conversation.
What are you talking about, sir?
Tabletop. What? I'm going everywhere.
How about we do this? How about
episode 348?
Send a man to Amsterdam, and this is what you get back.
Stay on target.
Lock on target.
This is episode 348.
Woo. Lock X foils in attack position.
We are calling it
Porkins.
No. WTF WB.
Correct.
Yay, I got it right.
Nice. Now let's see if you can do it three more times.
No vowels.
I like that.
Nope. Sometimes Y and W, right?
No, never W. No. Sometimes Y, never W.
A E I O U, sometimes Y and W.
Really?
Isn't it? Isn't that how that scheme goes?
Nope.
All right. Anyway.
I remember sometimes why. I don't recall W.
We're going to edit this part out, right?
No, why would we?
Nope. This is pop talk on Big Head's Key Stuff.
And fresh back from Amsterdam, it's Scapegoat.
Hey, everybody.
Did you eat any brownies, sir?
No, I tried. Just cake.
Just cake? Was it delicious cake?
Work. Doesn't work
for me.
No, really.
Just being honest with the program.
Wow,
but no, it doesn't work.
Have you done consumables before and had an effect?
Effectively, once, yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
But twice in Amsterdam, no effect.
Low dose, maybe.
Maybe
weak dose.
And
stupid
how
American? They just put oregano in.
That's it.
No.
And how did you do? If I may ask, how did you do in the red light district? Did you do good there?
What does that mean? I was there.
Yes.
I saw. I did not partake.
I see.
I would not.
It always reminds me of that scene.
If you partook, he'd be outside. I don't want to let that into the house.
He didn't go to Africa.
Hey, they're clean.
So they say.
There's no Ebola.
That's true. There is no Ebola.
No, it's regulated and stuff.
What's that movie, Euro Trip?
Yeah,
that always reminds
me of the safe word thing.
Yeah, the safe word.
Hot talk on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Stay on target.
All right. Geek programming.
So this is our first official episode back. Post New York Comic Con.
Right, there was an unofficial one.
There was a loosey goosey.
We call it a
thank
bridge.
You, Coke Logic, for doing a Game Stuff
right.
episode.
Bridge.
Conbola was the title of it.
Conbola?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was feeling a little under the weather.
I was going to say, did you put out the fact that we were maybe suffering from Conbola?
I did put out the fact that we perhaps were suffering from Conbola.
It makes sense.
It happens after a con.
Should have called it convoluted.
Well, this whole episode is convoluted. Perhaps we should change this episode title. Yeah.
Pod talk on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Let's focus on New York Comic Con for a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. Great experience, I think.
It was long.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did miss all of Friday, sadly.
Yes. I did sleep in a truck.
You did sleep. You also slept on the floor in front of the booth.
That's true.
On Sunday morning.
That's true. I did
so
do that.
That was rather fun.
Saturday night was difficult.
Unfortunately I missed Friday, personal stuff. But Saturday I was there. Saturday night was the DTAs.
Yes.
Congratulations to Dickie Page.
Yes, yeah. Dickie Page. We should now be referring to him as award-winning artist.
Award-winning Dickie Page.
Award-winning artist Dickie Page. Yes.
I'm sad that Benny did not win from Tenacious Toys. However, congratulations to Vin from My Plastic Heart.
Yeah, that's true. I'm kind of sad that Benny didn't win that either. And I'm a little
taking nothing away from Vin.
Not at all.
I love him, and I think his shop is awesome.
Yep, and his business acumen, and you know what? He's a great guy. No issues with that whatsoever.
I just think that a brick and mortar should not be able to be nominated for an online store.
Correct. If you're an online store, and this is where we agree wholeheartedly here, is that an online store should be entirely an online store.
So
if you have a brick and mortar presence, you are no longer qualified for that category.
Right. But those are the semantics of the DTAs.
How many points of articulate?
No.
It was one point.
The thing that there's a couple things I want to talk about, and I think you guys are probably on the same page with some of this stuff. Apparently Friday was busier than Saturday this year.
Yep. Well, I think what we decided was everything was a day
off
ahead, right? So Thursday was like a Friday.
Thursday was busy.
Friday was like a Saturday.
Right. Saturday was like a Sunday,
but Sunday was like a Thursday.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was really weird. But a good presence again.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There may have been a lot of panels Sunday, we decided.
Yeah.
Well, we also need to take a moment and thank everybody who participated at our table in any number of raffles.
Yep.
Or
if you run a raffle, you've been notified.
Signings or exclusives or anything like
that. Anything like that.
Yeah.
We should probably thank our booth neighbors as well.
Yeah.
To the left of us, the fine folks from Obscura.
Yeah, I didn't get any pictures. I'm so pissed about that.
We talked to them all weekend long.
I know.
I talked to Ryan like pretty much every morning and every afternoon. We would go over the day's woes.
Yeah, they were. He was like, anytime, you know, like you guys want me to do the show or do a call in or whatever. And I was like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so we should reach out to them because I think that that would be fun. And then, of course, to the right of us was Cherry Sauce
Clothing. Cherry Sauce, yeah. That's the clothing line of.
That is affiliated somehow, some way with. Jessica Negri?
Correct.
Is that the correct pronunciation of the last name, or did I just butcher
it? Yeah, no, you got it. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were awesome. She was great too. She was very nice. They were all very nice.
Yep.
We had good booth buddies this con.
We did.
In the past,
we've had some not so great ones.
You know, we shared a booth with Cat Shit once. So almost anything is better than that.
We share the booth. We followed.
That's right. They had the booth first.
That's right.
We moved in.
That's it.
But no, I think that aspect of the con was great.
Yeah.
What's up with Artist Alley?
We had across from us, we had those folks.
Yeah, 13th
floor.
13thfloor.us is their website.
Yeah.
awesome prints.
Yeah, great awesome stuff. Prints.
The Star Wars World War II
mashup. Even their kind of World War II sort of horror-ish mashup stuff.
Awesome.
Really great stuff.
But the Star Wars stuff really,
you
know, for obvious reasons, it's kind of stuck out for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a 3D. What we should have done was we should have done a panorama shot of the front of our booth. You know, like one of those things you can do with an Apple thing. Because I remember there was a
3D printer directly across from us.
Right. There was a 3D printer just slightly like 11 o'clock. Yeah. Right. And then we talked about those. And then 13th floor was over there.
Right.
There was an artist that was slightly more to the right of that.
Yep.
Two artists, actually, who I don't remember their names, but their work was amazing.
Waylon is the one guy's last name.
Yeah.
His work is fantastic.
And they were both, by Sunday, about 95% sold out of everything that they had bought, so on and so forth. So, and then you could look, there was a row directly in front of us, which was great.
Right.
Because we were kind of at a little bit of an intersection, which was really awesome for us. But at the opposite end of the row.
Smog.
So it's literally, and it looks like it should only be like 2 minute walk, unless, of course, you're there on Friday when it was a 20 minute walk. But it was, it was the Weta booth. We could clearly see the Weta booth five or six or seven rows away from us. Because they had the giant Smog there.
Right.
By the way, just so you know, the eye on Smog actually did open up.
It did open, right?
Yeah.
I thought I saw that on Sunday.
Yeah, it actually opened up and lit up, so it looked like he was waking up.
It's actually projection.
No, it wasn't.
It was
projection. It wasn't.
The inside of the eye was projected. There's a physical thing that opened, like there were lids that opened,
yes.
But then it's his eyes are projected.
No, it was lit from inside.
No, I don't
think I asked.
Okay.
I asked.
Okay.
Where would it be projected from?
From inside the head.
From inside the head.
It's lit from inside the head.
With a projector. That's what I'm saying to you.
I'm confused what's happening.
I've never seen a projector or not.
Let's move on.
Stand up.
So even farther away from Weta.
Right.
Was Artist Alley.
Oh, yeah. Let's get there.
We had some.
That was actually about a half a mile or so from Weta.
We've been down there.
We've been down there before.
The basement.
Before we say anything about Artist Alley, that may be viewed as negative. Some great artists down there. Some friends of the show.
Yep.
I bought several prints.
Yep.
Saw some interesting stuff, some new stuff.
Yep. A lot of friends of the show, we should say. David Peterson, we got a chance to catch up with, which I don't think we would have had an opportunity had you and I not walked down there.
Speaking of David Peterson, did you see his new Kickstarter? The Mouse Guard Lego bricks.
Is that him doing that?
I believe so.
Oh, I did see it. Yeah, I'm going to actually reach out. He didn't tell me anything about it.
He didn't tell us about it. I'm guessing maybe because it was still hush-hush and he couldn't talk about it yet.
For a week?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm going to reach out. If that's a thing, then I want to make sure that we get him on this show so that we can talk about that, because I think that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have another Kickstarter for a board game.
That ended already.
Oh, that ended already?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That ended a couple weeks
ago. Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was successful. Yeah,
yes,
it must be because he showed me us it when we were there.
That's in production at this point.
Got it. So, so there's a lot of stuff. So, with David Peterson, we caught up with Fernando Ruiz. Yep.
Chris Suminga was down there.
Yes.
A lot of guys.
A lot of guys that we know.
But let's talk about everybody in between the lot of guys.
Okay. So let's preface this conversation by saying this is part of any Comic-Con.
Right.
Which for us is... now you'll tell me, either one of you, if I'm wrong. I feel bittersweet about.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason I'm saying that is because I really enjoy discovering new artists who are doing different, really creative things.
Like the one guy at this con who was doing the repurposed wood frames with the old, like like the haunted house painting.
Yes, I have his card, but I didn't bring it, though, I'm afraid. He was sold out by Sunday.
I know.
He
literally went back on Sunday to get something.
Yeah.
And what I wanted was not there.
You wanted the ship, right?
Actually, I wanted the house.
Oh, you wanted the house.
The ship
I wanted the one that looked like the old school spaceship.
Yeah.
Totally sold out.
Yeah.
He had literally three things left.
He didn't have any business cards. He was writing his information on cardboard.
Yep.
With us, like stamping something and then writing something by Sunday. Mm-hmm. So
he was terrific.
Yes.
However, what we want to talk about is sort of the, what do we describe it as when we were there?
I thought we nailed it
when we were walking through.
I forget who it was, but some artists wife about 2 weeks ago published this kind of blog post slash article saying that cosplay
that was Dave Dorman's
it was
wife.
Dave Dorman, yeah. Right? Cosplay is killing Artist Alley and comic cons, right?
And what cons in general,
right? And so what we decided was that, well, that's not true, and a lot of people don't agree with that statement, but what we decided, I think, was that it's really artists that are killing artists Artist Alley. And yes,
not I'm not,
oh okay,
no,
because of the regurgitated nonsense that is being put out. And it's a shame. It's a shame that every booth you go to, it's the same four characters, their interpretation of this character as a pinup.
Basically.
Right? Like, yeah. Like, you remember a couple years ago, it was like this: their interpretation of a character as an anime character. Now,
right.
Now it's their interpretation of character X as a pinup.
Right. Or,
but it's, and it's a lot of that. It's, you know, we saw 50 Rocket and Groot prints.
Yeah.
I think two of which were actually really good.
We actually decided, did we not decide that we could probably paper a room the size of the studio here just from Groot and yes. Rocket prints that yes. we saw at New York Comic Con?
The two that I particularly liked, three actually, I should say. There were three that I particularly liked. Christopher Umingas was yeah. awesome.
But his stuff's always awesome.
Abraham Lopez.
Yes,
he's the one that with the, they were playing the Beatles
yeah.
record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Karen Hillion had an awesome Baby Groot print.
Right.
Actually, I bought that. That's somewhere in the studio. But for my wife. But there were a million other.
Yeah.
Just.
But it's a marketplace for them. I mean, they want to cover the cost of getting to the con.
Yep.
And right. they want to make money. So I understand. I mean, Artist Alley is essentially a flea market right. of art. No,
but it is. But
I said this to you, that pretty much what I saw was a lot of 7 out of 10 follow with a couple of, oh, that's actually really cool kind of stuff.
Right.
And that was it. And, it's like anyone who got top rated on DeviantArt decided, if I print these out quickly, I can head somewhere, set up a booth, and make some money.
Here's my problem.
So I totally get that. But what do you expect? If people are buying are going to buy a bunch of Rocket and Groot shit because Guardians of the Galaxy is this huge mega hit.
Wait, I have one sentence though. My problem is your number.
What?
My problem is your number. Seven?
I think he's going to say it's a bit
low. I think seven is overly generous.
I think most of the people there were anywhere between 6 and 7 out of 10.
Okay.
And then there were a couple of pieces and a couple of artists that I like, so I'm biased, yeah. and that had better artwork. But I also don't understand, like, unless it's exclusive prints or you get to interact with the right. artist or get signed, you know, I feel like you can go online and find the same prints and buy them anyway.
I don't,
you know,
even, I mean, necessarily.
Like, so for example, Greg Horn is a huge,
right.
huge guy, and he has a huge setup, and I still like his work, whatever.
Right.
And he's doing the same, selling crazy shit, and he's good at it, right?
He's like Crazy Eddie with his prints.
Yes. He's ridiculous.
Buy one. You know what it is? It's like Men's Warehouse. Buy one print, get 33 additional prints for free.
Right, kind of. But the point is, that isn't that the point? That's the marketplace.
It is. But so I think where I was going with this in some regard was I don't entirely fault all the artists for right. trying, right? Because you're right, that's what they're there to do.
Right.
But the problem is that you have to be careful when you apply the criticism to what's causing these cons to suffer. So I don't blame the artist for trying. However,
right.
when you look at it as an entire event,
as a whole,
opposed to one individual guy doing one thing.
Right.
The problem is that I walked Artist Alley probably three times during the course of the con. It actually was my favorite part of the con, except that I got bored. I get bored of seeing the same exact characters over and over and over again. And so what happens is these guys that are trying to stand out and trying to move their art, what happens is they fade into the background.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped looking
totally
at group prints after a while because I just didn't care your interpretation of it anymore.
Totally understand.
So,
but what do you think should happen instead?
Well, I think what artists needs to do, perhaps, is you want to have a group print, that's fine, but then you need to have something else that makes you stand out from the four guys immediately surrounding you. And if you don't, chances are people are going to walk by you in a haze.
Well,
and so I think what happens is people walk by a lot of people in a haze, and that hurts their experience of the con as a whole.
Okay.
Is that fair?
This
is,
or not fair? I mean, yes and no. So what you're saying is because there's such an oversaturation of the same kind of print that they think is going to sell, all of those people making those prints, except for the very rare exception where the rest of their work also stands out, are going to fade into the background.
Correct.
Okay. But I bet you a lot of those people that we said, oh my God, seriously, sold a fuck ton of Groot and Rocket prints.
That may well be true.
So the question is, are they really upset that they have to shell out every year to draw the character they don't give a fuck about to sell it, and their original artwork is suffering because no one's buying it because they just want Rocket and Groot prints? Unless they're that damn good. So do we need better artists there, or is the whole reason that people in cosplay are only buying the characters they're cosplaying or Rocket and Groot?
I want to remove the cosplay angle from this.
No, I'm not totally talking about cosplay. Right, totally. I'm just saying that when you go with I'm looking for Pokemon, you're going to find everyone who fucking
has Pokemon. Well, look, let me put it a different way. If that was the caliber of the special edition, kind of glad I didn't go. Because what would I have seen that was different than what we saw when we walked Artist Alley?
Right.
The difference between an Artist Alley now and an Artist Alley even as little as 5 years ago is that anybody can go into Artist Alley. Anybody.
Right.
So if you can make a print, you can go into Artist Alley. But that wasn't the way it was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it was guys who had been published, you know, guys and gals who had been published or who were self-publishing, and not people who were just churning out prints of the popular character of the moment in a style that is
right. So what I'm saying derivative is, if it is now a marketplace to sell prints as opposed to a showcase of the art at the forefront of comic books, as opposed to it just being part of the arc that Marvel's going to tell you how it's so great, let's really focus on this panel or this artist and their work, and you get to go see that. If they've changed it to people need to sell as much as they can, we take square, then that's what it is right now.
Right.
And
the issue is it's yet another step away from it being Comic-Con. It isn't about the comic book art. It's about who can churn out the most prints
of the relative character. We're totally agreeing.
I don't think we're disagreeing.
It's a flea market of prints where people are trying to sell you
and it shit. Shouldn't be.
Okay, so
I don't know I don't know the solution to this. There's no way to regulate it.
The solution is
Comic-Con can't say you can't come in Artist Alley if all you're selling prints.
Absolutely, they can.
No, they can't.
No, absolutely, they can.
They can.
Hold on.
I'm going to make the argument of a published credit.
Thank you.
Or a self-published credit.
I'm going to make the argument right now.
Or an independent
13th floor.
Okay.
Why aren't they in Artist Alley?
Because they chose not to be, I'm guessing. Where would you put Chris Aminga?
So I would put Chris Aminga in Artist Alley
because
he's been published. He absolutely has been published.
Really? I don't know a book that he's worked on.
He has, and not only that, but Graffiti has also used his designs in actual licensed DC work.
See, I think actually saying you're published, first of all, I disagree with that as a criteria.
Okay.
I don't think you can actually regulate Artist Alley. I don't think New York Comic Con as a con can regulate Artist Alley.
They should.
You mean can or should? You don't think?
I don't think they can.
Sure, they can.
No, I don't think they can.
When you do your submission, the another submission is proof
when,
of
when okay, press well, have to provide
Marvel Dark Horse IDW.
But what about self-published
or a self-published book?
So
that gets evaluated by an independent committee to decide whether or not you're allowed.
The press has to have credentials. Or why shouldn't they rename it?
Because it's not Artist Alley. It's a marketplace for prints.
And why shouldn't they be trying to fight to get the tables on the regular floor? They don't, because they know they can go into Artist Alley for less money.
Of course.
And just do the same thing that the 13th floor paid probably twice as much for their booth as those guys did in Artist Alley.
I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope.
Do you think? I'm not saying they should do that, but I understand why. I don't know what Reed or New York Comic Con or whoever we want to call that organizes it, what their philosophy, if they have one, what their philosophy behind Artist Alley is supposed to be.
Yeah, because
when you read, you can see the block and they have a little caption of this is what we think the block means, and then you can argue that.
Right.
I don't know what they call Artist Alley other than it's artists in and out.
Because there are clearly
that's not meant to be a bad joke. I really don't know.
Because
if it's let's focus on the art from the comics that you love, then this isn't it.
Because
if we say, hey, artists should be able to sell their shit and be appreciated, this is what it's doing.
Because there are other artists that are on the main floor, too. Yeah. Like, for example,
Campbell.
Right? Campbell then should be in Artist Alley. He should not be allowed to be on the main floor.
No, he can be on the main floor if he wants to be on the main floor. That's I think you're missing the point.
Because if you're going to tell certain guys you can't be in Artist Alley because of XYZ,
right.
Then artists should have to be in Artist Alley so that you open up those spaces for guys that you're kicking out of Artist Alley.
Okay, I don't disagree with that.
Wait, so you're saying...
So
you're saying the people that would not be allowed in Artist Alley should be able to pay to be on the main floor?
Yes.
So, if the goal is to get rid of people who lack talent or who selling derivative crap work from their DeviantArt page that they're just printing out on glossy paper that they got on an HP printer.
You're changing the topic,
You're saying they should be allowed to pay to be on the main floor.
You're changing the argument, though. Because the argument was, in order to be an Artist Alley, you had to have a published book.
I'm saying that there's no other way to say what...
So you're saying that a guy who doesn't have a published book but has artwork doesn't belong at the con at all?
So there's no way you're going to have an independent... acceptable independent board,
and that's why I said
this person is a good talent, so they're allowed even though they're not published.
So what I'm saying is
if you say that Artist Alley is about the arts of the comic books that people read, then they have to be published because they don't have art in comic books if they're not comic book artists.
But then
if you're saying that the people who are in Artist Alley who'd be kicked out because they're not comic book artists should buy space on the main floor, that's fine, but then you're just going to put Artist Alley upstairs.
No.
Or you think it'll weed out people who can't afford it?
Well, there's other logistics that we're not even taking into consideration here. You don't put J. Scott Campbell in Artist Alley, who will then block seven tables with his line.
I agree with you. Okay. But I think all of this comes down to what I'm trying to, the point that I'm trying to make is we could have this discussion and it's a healthy discussion. I don't see how logistically Reed can actually implement anything that we think works, because there are other people that probably disagree with us very much.
Of course.
And I don't know how Reed is going to subjectively say, because
you.
Right. They do it simply. You either follow the published rule because they decide Artist Alley is about, what I just said.
I don't have a problem with a guy like Chris Uminga being down there.
You tell everybody to go to Special Edition. You tell who's in Artist Alley now should be part of Special Edition.
So where does Karen...
Who's going to be in Artist Alley at NYCC.
Where does Karen Helion belong?
I think Artist
Alley... Has she been published?
I think that area should be separate.
Not in a comic book.
I think...
Okay, where has she been published?
On a t-shirt site.
I think Artist Alley...
T-Fury.
...should be separated.
Maybe that's a debatable point.
Well, I mean, I have no problem with her being in Artist Alley. I think she belongs in Artist Alley, quite honestly.
Right, okay. But what we're saying is we're trying to come up with an objective way...
Right.
...to split people who are subjectively...
Right.
Regurgitating crap and not talented.
Well,
or forget that they're not talented. They're deciding to put out work that doesn't stand out as being an individual artist. It's just crap, right? So we're saying, how do we kick these people out? So if I
don't even necessarily want to kick them out, but no. I just want to assign the blame of what I think is affecting
the nature
of Comic-Con and Artist Alley.
Right.
I don't want to say that you don't have a right to be there, but when we're gonna if you're gonna assign blame and say it's the cosplayers or it's
this
guy or it's that guy, I think what it is, it's actually some of the.
I'm saying the artist will blame the fact that what it is now is a marketplace, and I'm not going to sell any prints unless I have a bunch of Groot and Rocket shit. So thanks, but fuck you. I can't sell my original work that I'd rather sell, but I won't make any money if I don't have a print of Groot and Rocket with a crossover to a different fucking series.
I hear you.
Because crossovers are the craziest shit in the world. By the way, D4L3K is still
on. That's right. They're still available.
Raccoon as the Doctor and Groot as the TARDIS.
But no joke, they've done shit like that. That is what's selling. So people have to make it. So I think the counter argument that artists are going to say what we're saying to them is, well, people don't buy our stuff. This is the only way for us to...
Right.
To do
I don't know. I think it's an observation that our observations are necessarily right.
They're just our observations.
And our opinions. Because I'm sure some people disagree. And if they do, we invite them to call the GVM line.
At 425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And I'm expecting a call from the artist Markel Wilson.
But very seriously, I want to hear what Reed thinks Artist Alley is supposed to be. I think that would help us figure
out. I think if you go on their website, they have criteria for Artist Alley.
I have not looked.
I've never looked because it's never been pertinent to me.
Exactly.
And it does not affect me as an exhibitor.
Gotcha.
Even when they put us down there, it didn't affect me as an exhibitor because they pretty much just said, you're an Artist Alley, and we said, okay.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah,
so,
gotcha.
But I believe that they do have criteria to be down there. I just don't know what it is. And maybe before next week's episode, one of us can look it up and we can follow up on it.
Just sure. A quick word on cosplay, yeah. Really quick. The reason cosplay is becoming an issue is because everybody wants to take pictures with cosplayers or take pictures of cosplayers.
Right.
And they will stop 10 deep in the middle of the floor
right.
and take pictures for 20 minutes.
Right.
It's a traffic concern. And it's Reed has an easy solution here. There should be a cosplay area.
They have that little wall that's set up on the way to Artist Alley.
Right.
With the Reed. It's almost like the shot
at
the
top of
it. That's supposed to be like a place where photos
it
are.
Is?
In between the
place where they have the props that you can put on. That's what that is, sir.
In between the wall and the bathroom, there is intentional blank area where people can sit and relax. And
then they need a giant banner like they have for every other section that says cosplay area.
But I think the problem with that is
guys gravitate towards there.
I think that in order to enforce that again, when you have 151,000 people potentially wandering around the floor, you need more security to move them along. Move it along. Don't take the photo here. Go over there.
And yeah, but I think that is going to kill. Right, that'll
never happen.
People going to the con.
Well, yeah.
So
you run into
just don't be an asshole.
Yeah, you're damned if you do.
Of course,
and you're damned if you don't.
Yep.
Let's move on.
Sure.
And that was Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Well, that was 30 minutes of quality entertainment.
Wow.
I'm saying quality.
I'm saying entertainment.
There you go.
I'm saying the space in between.
You should have said 30 minutes.
Let's talk about the other biggest thing in the news. Warner Brothers shitting out a bunch of titles.
If you thought 30 minutes was long before.
It's like Marvel with number one issues. By the way, I did read The Death of Wolverine.
I really want to talk about that.
I don't know if especially we're going to get to that, but I did read it.
Was it cool?
No.
The dude whom I don't remember his name, so I know you listen, dude, and he's like, you guys keep on skirting around The Death of Wolverine, but you never actually talk about
it. Oh, yeah, that guy. He's Vegemation's friend, isn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
So we'll talk about it.
Let's talk about it real quick.
You want to talk about it?
It was a week ending.
It was boring
and it was weak.
I don't understand.
And he'll be back soon.
2016. They've already leaked.
He stole a vial of the serum off the cart. They almost highlighted it with a yellow marker. This is the healing serum that he stole.
Well, were there four of them?
Yeah, and
he stabbed three of them,
right.
And their fourth one is missing.
So that's how he's going to come back.
And he's in an adamantium shell, so he's fucking what? In a cocoon? He's hibernated or something?
So that's how he'll come back.
Dumb as balls.
He didn't go out in a blaze of glory. He went out very peacefully, looking at the sunset.
But they almost explored an interesting idea.
They almost explored an interesting idea.
Of him like, no, I want to live one life.
Yes.
And like make something with it, and it changes my perspective. That would be cool. Why is the miniseries not like a dark, like...
Absolutely.
Look into Wolverine's final moments and how he decides to be near the sunset is supposed to be this meaningful moment. It's bad.
Much like Damian Wayne is returning to Batman later this year.
But I appreciate
Wolverine will return to the Marvel Universe.
I appreciate that they did not kill him in a way that looked final and then try to bullshit out of it.
Wolverine,
I appreciate that they set it up as bullshit. In the first place.
Wolverine or Damian?
Wolverine.
Oh, because anybody whose grandfather is Ra's al Ghul is not dead.
No, I know. I read today that he's coming back, but he's coming back with superpowers.
Oh, is he?
Anyway, let's talk about Warner Brothers.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers.
You want to take them one at a time?
No. I want to list them
first. Shit them all out at once?
Before you do that, I'm going to take a backseat in this conversation because I feel like I have repeated the same concept over and over and over again on multiple programs.
Okay.
Starting with how terrible Gotham still is, by the way.
Still.
And it is the fact that nothing matters because they are not telling any connected shared universe stories, and Marvel is kicking their ass, and I don't fucking understand why. And it's something as simple as we've talked about and you've said before, you know, Arrow, Steve Amell shooting something, you know, shooting a little kryptonite.
Oh, no, there's more news.
Dawn of Justice.
No.
I'm just saying that we know my perspective on this matter, and reading this is just fucking infuriating.
CW is doing it right.
I want to leap off of what Scapegoat just said, by the way, because I don't know that you know this or that you know this. Maybe you do. You probably do, but I think it's something we're going to be discussing in a second.
Is there
anyway,
a condescending button?
No. It's not condescending.
I don't think you know this yet.
I just don't want to assume.
Yep.
Did you hear that there is a Robin in the Batman Superman?
Carrie Kelly.
Yeah, and did you hear who's playing her?
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone. And so once again, wait, it's another step. Yeah, wait, that's right.
A female Robin in Dawn of Justice?
Oh, yeah. And it's
Jenna. Well, because there was a female Robin in Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, which is this Carrie is Kelly. clearly becoming more and more.
I don't care that the Robin is female. I care that Robin is in it.
Yes.
Why?
Because every other character is in it. Why not add Robin?
Well, here's one character. Hold on. Here's one character that isn't in it. Green fucking Arrow.
I know.
Who they easily could have tied the universe together.
But that's my problem. Like, none of this has consequences.
Let's talk about this real quick. Okay. I just want to run down the list of titles.
Okay.
Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, okay, 2016.
That is in the shared cinema. I don't even want to call it
that. That is the shared cinematic universe.
That's in the Man of Steel Justice
League. The cinematic universe.
Yes. That is the next movie. That's the movie that we've been seeing.
I know. Hold on. Let's count how many there are.
Let's establish it before we start then. There's the Gotham universe. That's number one.
Right.
There is the Arrow. Universe. There's the Constantine universe. That's number
really
two.
Really good, by the way. I really enjoyed it.
I didn't watch it.
I have it to share.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
Constantine
good.
Universe is number two.
Yep.
Right? The Flash / Arrow universe is three.
Yep.
Right?
Go.
Then there's going to be the Cinematic. Teen Titan universe on TBS when that comes out.
When is that coming out?
2016 as well, I think.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Cinematic universe.
That's part of one.
These are all.
Oh, we said one.
No, that was Gotham.
No, Gotham was one.
So okay, one of five. Only one five. Of these on this list that I know of is not part of the cinematic universe. I believe.
Wrong.
Oh, did they lump Shazam in now?
Shazam is not in.
That's what I said. Only one is not part of it.
So keep going. Okay. Oh. So
Suicide Squad is part of it.
Up in the air. It hasn't been said whether it's part of it or not.
Oh, all right. Okay.
And they are really hoping that this is going to be their Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
By the way.
Wonder Woman.
What?
Why do I care about a group of villains I've never met? Wonder Woman.
Well, why did you care about a bunch? Hold on. Why did you care about a bunch of space villains that you never met?
Because I think
exactly.
I think villains
personality and good writing.
I think villains need heroes in order to establish themselves. Heroes can be heroes.
You have the same fuck this as you do about the Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
yes.
not what I meant. Yep. Not Spider-Man.
Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Yes. Justice League Part 1.
Wait a minute. They're going to have to introduce so much shit to make Suicide Squad make sense.
Nope, they're not.
I said Wonder Woman, right? Justice League Part 1.
Yep. I'm happy.
Hold on.
Happy
Justice League back. Part 1. Wait, hold on. We have to slow down.
Okay, I thought I was
Justice
just
League Part 1
yes.
means that we're going to see the Justice League first, and then they're going to break out individual films. So they're working completely backward of the Marvel
we've
model.
We've known that for a while now.
I know, I'm just... Yeah. It's established now. We've speculated.
Justice League Part 1.
Yes.
The Flash.
Which is not going to be the kid or connected anyway to the TV. What year is it coming out?
2018, I'm sorry.
Sorry, The Flash is 2018? 2018, which means if the Flash television show stays on the air, it will have a four-year audience commitment that will be totally abandoned. And not abandoned. They're not going to abandon the TV show. What I mean to say is that they've totally marginalized, they've totally disenfranchised that entire audience from seeing that movie.
No one is disagreeing with
And that. They cast that kid from...
Ezra Miller is the kid's name.
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yes.
Oh, really? That's the kid?
The gay kid.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, with the long hair.
Aquaman, starring Jason Momoa, 2018.
No one cares. James Cameron director.
Oh, and are you reading the Flash? Are you reading the Flash companion comic?
No,
that's coming out. So this week's title, which I have not read yet, it's issue 4, I think, of Flash Year Zero or whatever. I believe the villain in that issue is Black Manta, which leads me to believe that at some point in time we might get fucking Aquaman in the CW universe.
It's possible. Yeah, that makes sense.
Aquaman, Shazam 2019, which is not part of the universe. Justice League Part 2.
Part 2.
2019.
Yes.
Cyborg.
So is it going to be one story? So what does the timeline look like for the connected?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, I have the years.
These have to be.
No. Not when they come out. Does that mean Justice League is going to is like Cyborg going to happen after the end of Justice League Part 2, or is it a flashback?
We don't know.
That's it.
Cyborg has been confirmed to be in Batman versus Superman.
We know that. Yeah, and he's even in Dawn of Justice.
Or at least
that is Dawn of Justice.
Or at least the kid that becomes Cyborg.
Yes.
Yeah, right. We know that. But no, what I'm asking
we is, don't know
are
if
they
going to
flash
story
back into the Justice League thing? Because that doesn't work of on a three-year later fucking time.
Of course
scale.
Not. No, but...
And then 2020, the capper on 2020 is Green Lantern.
Yeah, it is the cherry on this shit cake.
Yep.
Is what that is.
What the fuck?
2020, do you think that's long enough to get the stink of the first movie out of the universe?
Yeah, there'll be plenty of new stink.
Oh my God.
I don't know that they're going to make it to 2020.
I don't think so. That's... really don't.
What the fuck did I just... Why?
It's just ass backwards. They have to be origin films.
You should have seen...
I don't think they're gonna be.
They have to be.
You should have seen the genital caressing DC Universe fans trying their hardest to say, no, it could still be a connected universe when the Flash news came out. Because that was the indicator that it was officially broken. They yep. recast the Flash. They yeah. were like, no, what if it's Wally West?
Yeah, but it ain't. Yeah.
And it's not going to be Wally West.
And,
sorry, guys.
But why? But why would they
funny. Do that? The distinction that I've been making, we talked about this before the show and we got a little heated about it, is I want to make sure that we're being very specific and not just lumping it all in and saying DC.
It's not DC Comics, but it is the DC Cinematic Universe.
Correct. But it's Warner Brothers property. If we say the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's the Marvel Films Cinematic Universe.
No, it's Marvel Disney Films.
Well, whatever.
Because Sony Marvel is not the same as Marvel Disney.
Marvel Films is its own company.
Correct. But what I'm saying, to be clear, is if I say the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it doesn't include Spider-Man, Fantastic Four.
No, absolutely not.
Let me ask you this. When all of these movies come out, every single one of them, right, when Gotham, Gotham airs every week, when Constantine starts to air this Friday,
yeah,
is the big fucking DC logo at the beginning of every episode on every single one of those shows?
It sure,
absolutely
it is. Absolutely.
So there you go.
Okay,
DC gets a little bit of a.
Okay, just saying.
Just like when you go see Spider-Man, you see the Marvel logo at the beginning of the film.
Here's the reason I X-Men brought it
movies
up.
Has the Marvel logo at the beginning of the film.
Hey, I don't want to lump them into the Spider-Man shit.
We'll get to that. Here's the reason that I'm doing this.
Okay.
The DC books right now are really good.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the Marvel books, which currently suck, most of them, all of them.
The universe in general
is just upside down and backwards
screwed up. There's a couple of books that are still really good.
Okay, granted, right? That said, DC is already getting flack. The books already getting flack.
Well, that's just stupid people.
Of course,
but I'm not going to change my position on whether or not my favorite toy retailer should carry toys for all ages just because of one stupid person's 8,000 stupid people's
holy
signatures on a change.org petition.
What is OG talking about? Well, we'll find out right after our first break here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 348, WTFWB.
Our newest sponsor is Kelly Maloney Chesney, independent chocolatier with Dove Chocolate Discoveries.
Through her website, www.myonesweetworld.com, you spell out the one, she sells Dove's exclusive party line of products such as chocolate martini mix, truffle fudge brownie mix, and chocolate barbecue sauce. And so much more.
She also hosts virtual chocolate parties and chocolate tasting parties on the East Coast, from Long Island, New York to Delaware.
The October promotion for guests is when you spend $60, you will receive an 8-ounce box of our delicious dark chocolate covered almonds and milk chocolate covered cashews. Yeah, we had those almonds at New York Comic Con. They were good as shit.
They were awesome.
Kelly is also available to assist you as your personal shopper for any holiday, whether it is a personal gift or client appreciation gift.
Yo, I'm just saying, I am one virtual chocolate party away from being a fat kid again. I'm just saying.
I want chocolate barbecue sauce.
Can
we talk about that?
Word.
I want to try that.
Can we talk about your weight problem, OJ?
Not right now.
And now, back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. When last we left our heroes, OG had ham-handedly tried to move the topic onto another subject.
Which we will not be addressing right now, because we're going to talk about Marvel first.
Yes, we should do that. So
as bad as the WB shit is, Marvel Cinematic Universe, pretty fucking awesome.
Pretty, and getting better.
Yes. Getting better.
And getting better.
I like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Every announcement.
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s getting a little like... you need less episodes in your season.
Shield,
you
know what I mean? To me, Shield is going back to that loosey goosey season one kind of thing.
Nope.
I like it. The last two episodes, but it's
have been a little. Can you just fucking get?
Yeah, can we just kind of move it forward?
Okay, so
they're doing a little.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Big development in the last episode, as far as I'm concerned.
I had not seen Monday night's episode, so
you haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen.
Oh man, I gotta.
You can talk about it. It's fine.
You sure?
Yeah, whatever.
They introduced the character.
I don't agree.
Yeah, Mockingbird.
Oh, you know,
right?
Okay.
I don't agree that that's a big deal.
It's a big deal because it's yet another mainstay Marvel character.
We knew she was coming.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's been announced for like 6 weeks.
Not the point. The point is it happened. And they did it really well. And I don't know who's playing her.
Adrian Pilecki,
who was supposed to be Wonder Woman. Who was supposed to be Wonder Woman. Shitty TV show from years ago.
Yes. Well, she is.
Who was great in Friday Night Lights?
This is clearly a better gig. That said, I thought the way they handled her character was excellent. They even joked about the blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And all the. I mean, they did a really great job introducing the character. And she's staying around.
Oh, yeah. She's a series regular.
Yeah, which is really terrific.
Totally.
I think
that's
a really great idea.
I agree. But I feel like, tell me what the fuck's going on with Coulson, because that's going to be a big reveal in the Marvel Universe, and now you're just dancing around it.
Well, it's coming. Even if you're not going to give us Coulson, give us some more info on Skye. Like,
well, we met the father.
I know, but we're dancing. We're kind of dancing around.
Who is her father?
We're dancing around.
We don't know who it is.
Yeah.
We've met him.
I feel like we're dancing around two storylines.
What's his name?
And the only progress we're making is with Simmons, or with Fitz, or Fitzsimmons, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
She's back, so they're going to address that, which is good. But that's the thing. Like, I like all the plot lines, but yes, it feels like we'll address it for the 30 seconds at the end, but it's villain of the week time because we don't know how long we have until something changes the universe.
The big reveal, though, I think is going to be who Kyle MacLachlan is playing.
Yeah.
That'll be a big deal.
Be a big deal.
Who's Skye's father?
Yeah.
Yes, who's Skye's father.
Whoever Kyle MacLachlan is playing is
going
to be.
And whatever's going on
for the life of me, I can't put a finger on who he could possibly be playing.
Yeah, it's definitely up in the air.
So I'm hoping it's somebody derivative from the universe as opposed to just some new cat.
Some dude.
Yeah. But, I mean, and they go on and on about...
He's got to be a power, though, right?
He has to be. But they go on about her being some alien...
Could possibly have alien DNA.
So, who's her mother?
Yeah, right.
So that'll be an issue.
Of course.
But so, which is fine.
The season...
Maybe,
mid-season episode has to be big.
She's going to... Maybe she
well, we got a while for that.
She's going to meet Star-Lord.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is. Brother and sister.
Can we just say quickly about Star-Lord? I want to. Did you see that for Record Day, they're actually releasing Awesome X Volume 1 on cassette?
Yeah, I saw that.
All right. Let's move on to what we wanted to talk about. Yeah. Captain America 3.
Yes.
It is confirmed. I believe, although not officially confirmed, but mostly confirmed.
He said it, I think.
He did not say Variety is the one that's saying it based on really good resources.
Didn't he say it in his AMA?
Not
on Reddit? Oh, I thought he did.
No. It's still very... It's happening, but it hasn't been officially announced happening.
And he's also said about...
Civil War.
He's also said...
Yeah, Cap 3.
It'd be the prelude, certainly. Yeah. He's also said that... He said within the same day, he said there will be, and there are no plans for, an Iron Man 4.
I think he clarified is what it was. But let's talk about Civil War.
Okay. Right.
So a lot of people are saying either that's amazing... Or it's stupid, and they've given reasons for both. And I'm saying that much like Age of Ultron, I think they will use the name Civil War, but it'll be a different story.
Ish.
I think it will take
aspects. The basic premise will be the same, yeah.
Because, like we discussed before the mics were on, currently there's only a handful of people who would qualify to register under the Superhero Registration Act, and they're all outed. More or less. Captain America has a big fucking museum to him in the Smithsonian. Iron Man,
Tony Stark. It's a big enough crossover event that they could touch the Netflix series, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Correct.
When is that airing and I've totally forgot about it? What's the one
Daredevil?
Before S.H.I.E.L.D.? That's happening
Agent Carter is a mid-season replacement.
That's the mid-season replacement. Okay, so when S.H.I.E.L.D. goes off in November, December.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, Carter will pick up. Never mind, that's not relevant. So that's a big enough event that could affect all the little characters and all the major characters.
I agree.
At the same time.
I agree.
But it would have to be like internment as opposed to registration or something. It would have to be what they're talking about, Man of Steel. Like something bad happens and they decide we can't do this anymore.
The mutant massacre.
It's definitely going to be Tony versus Cap.
Totally.
What it is about, and how it plays out, I think, is what the mystery is. And I'm fine with that. I'm okay with him going in that direction.
Sure.
You know, my concern is, my concern with it being in Cap 3, though, is how does it deride, or does it deride, the overall story arc leading up to what we're still assuming is the Infinity Gauntlet for Avengers 3?
Maybe. Well, does it break them up
and then they have to reunite for Avengers 3?
Or could 4. Be.
Or, wow.
I don't think so.
No?
I think it starts the seeds of what could... Like, I don't think he's going to be the main... I don't think Robert Downey Jr., Tony Stark, whatever. I don't think he's going to be the main focus of that movie.
Of Cap 3?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so either.
I think Cap 3 is going to be very directly tied to Age of Ult, like all the Avengers 3 stuff.
It's going to be directly tied to the Winter Soldier.
Right, but I don't think, I think Civil War will just begin. Like they'll
it's say the prelude. The line. I said
well, it, yeah, well, there'll
I
said be clearly earlier. Significant events after Avengers 2 that will affect all of the Phase 3 movies.
Of always.
Yeah.
Right, and it has to. Right, so
the appearance of Howard the Duck.
There you go. And I'm all right with Howard the Duck.
And what's the name of the dog? The talking dog?
A Sputnik.
Cosmo. Yes. You know what? Sputnik. But what? Something I want to say that I feel like we're. First of all, they still can't find a fucking Doctor Strange. That's first of all.
And I heard Cumberbatch is back way up high on the list again, and thankfully
Joaquin Phoenix is out. Yeah, out. So out.
You know why? You know why? Didn't want to do more than one movie.
Yeah, good for him. Fuck him.
Okay, bye-bye.
See ya. I don't know what I was going to say now. Thor 3. I feel as though we're getting a lot of information about other movies that are happening in Phase 3, but not even a rumbling about Thor 3.
Didn't they say they're doing one?
They are.
It's confirmed.
It's kind of straightforward what it's going to be, though.
Is it? What is it going to be?
It's going to be a war in Asgard.
You think so?
Yeah. Loki's on the throne.
Okay.
That's got to be.
I don't know.
He's got to leave Earth after all that shit. He's got to go back and fix that. I kind of feel like
before we should be getting Cap 3 news, we should be getting Thor 3 news.
No, I don't think it. You know why?
Because it's going to be more isolated than the rest.
Exactly. It has. It's going to have very little, if anything at all, to do with the Avengers storyline moving forward, except for the fact that unless Loki is, you know, holding hands with some other force, and that's part of the War of Asgard, and it happens to be related to Thanos. The War of Asgard,
Thanos could get the gems that are still in Odin's possession.
Yes, that could be it.
That'll be the end.
You know,
that could totally be it.
And that would be the tie-in to then Avengers 3. So, Marvel doing a good job, I think, is where we were
excellent,
going.
Excellent job. Yeah. And in light of this release schedule from Warner Brothers, it just makes it seem all the more brilliant.
I got Arrow, I got Flash.
That's all you got, because you ain't got anything more.
Nope, that's not true, because they've already teased Booster Gold as the next potential spinoff show, and already within the confines of Arrow, this season we're getting the Atom, we're getting we're getting another really big character on Arrow or Flash this season.
Katana.
We are getting Katana.
That's funny.
Who else? No, we're getting somebody else. More
Batman characters.
They've already teased Ra's al Ghul. They've already teased Blue Beetle last season as well.
Oh, Cord Industries.
So Cord Industries is floating around. So I think that universe is going to continue to flourish.
They should totally establish. They should totally establish Blue Beetle.
And then
throw him right on the Booster Gold ship.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be perfect.
100%.
Blue and gold?
Yep. You introduce Blue Beetle in Arrow, because that's where Cord Industry appeared. And then when Booster Gold launches, that's who you move forward.
Oh, yeah, totally.
How are they going to launch Booster Gold?
Because
isn't it in the future?
No.
He comes to the present.
No, and what they're saying is no.
I thought Booster Gold was from the future.
Booster Gold.
Are you sure?
No.
Positive.
Okay.
Look at Booster Gold this way.
Sorry, audience.
He's the out Batman.
No, I get it. But I thought Booster Gold, for some reason, was from the future.
Now, are you confusing him with Professor Zoom?
No.
Professor Zoom is from the future.
I may be only knowing the Booster Gold from Justice League, the animated series, which had a different origin, which was that he was from the future.
Was he from the future?
Oh, you know what? In the current DC universe, I think he's from Earth 2.
No, he stole technology from the year 3100, went back in time to try to be a famous superhero. Was his origin in the Justice League.
I don't believe that's his origin universe. In the books, though.
It may not be. I'm just saying, to be clear, I'm not really wrong. Holy shit, I don't know what I'm talking about. I just don't know what I'm talking about comics
but
continuity.
Honestly,
I'm just defending myself.
If that is the case in the books, I don't know.
Do you know the comic book origin of Booster Gold? Why not give the GVM line a call?
At 425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yes, I don't know what we were saying. Were we saying anything else significant?
Yes, the character is initially depicted as a glory-seeking showboat from the future, using knowledge of historical events and futuristic technology to stage high-publicity heroics.
I don't remember that. Well, they're going to change the origin.
That was the original origin of the character.
I believe they're going to change the origin, because what they're talking about is using the particle accelerator event. To spin him out. So I think all of the metahumans
and the whole series was about him time traveling throughout the DC universe.
I don't recall that at all.
Yep. From the future. Michael John Carter was born poor in 25th century Gotham City.
I really don't remember that.
I don't at all. I thought he was a really, really rich dude who just decided he wanted to be a superhero and wasn't hiding about it at all.
No, he came from the 25th century.
All right, well, there you go. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Boom.
Just suck it out of a hose.
What year did he come from?
The 25th century.
There you go. That's how you tie it in.
That's how
you tie it into The Flash. Done. It's already established. Done. Episode 1 of The Flash.
Well done.
The last 20 seconds of the episode. Booster Gold. It's done.
Yeah.
What happened?
That'd be good.
Right?
See it.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Good times.
just suck it out of a hose.
It's close to suck it out of a hose. So that's it. He's a regular guy from the future. He travels back in time to get affected by the particle accelerator. Boom. Booster Gold.
Well, no, the particle accelerator brings him back in time.
Oh.
Was how I would do it.
Maybe.
Because he doesn't have powers. He just has technology, right?
He just has technology.
He just has technology from the future.
Yeah. So the particle accelerator somehow brings him back.
It just brings him back. Yeah.
Maybe.
And it has to do with the thing
with that.
Tom Cavanaugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cavanaugh, by the way. Absolutely, Professor Zoom. Right? We've established that. It hasn't been officially established, but he is Reverse Flash, right? We're pretty... Are we in agreement on that at this point?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I totally disagree.
You don't watch the show at all.
So you don't get to comment. Your opinion?
I'm just the voice of dissent.
Valid.
Is that it for at the hour and 5 minute mark? Are we...
I'll quickly do this. Assault on Arkham.
Okay.
Not a great addition. I was very, very happy that Kevin Conroy was back as Batman.
Yes.
I was very happy. I actually like Troy Baker, I think is his name.
Okay.
That's not his name.
Kenny Baker?
Troy Baker. I think that's his name. He's a huge, huge voice actor. In video games, he plays everyone in Bioshock Infinite. He played the Joker in one of the Arkham video games.
Who did Joker in this?
Troy
Baker. I'm sorry. Yeah, you said I don't
think his name is Troy Baker now that I keep saying that. But anyway, he did Troy whatever, did the Joker, and he pretty much does a Mark Hamill impression. And it's really great. And he does an amazing job, and that's what I wanted to say. So Kevin Conroy and Troy Baker do a great job. Everyone else is mediocre.
Who does Harley Quinn?
I don't know.
Is it Tara Strong?
I don't think so.
It's not Arlene Sorkin, right?
It's someone else doing a Tara Strong impression that doesn't get it as good.
Okay.
It may be the same person from the video games because it is based in the continuity of the video games.
It could be Arlene Sorkin then. Didn't she do it for the video games?
I think so. It could be her. She does an okay job. It's very clear, though, and it's not usually.
That it's not Arlene Sorkin.
No. It's not usually because Andrea Romano is the one who directs all these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said it 100 times in this episode. Big fan of Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, right. Batman Animated Series, all these guys. And it's clear. I mean, they record their lines individually in their own studios, and then when they mix it and put it together, it sounds like conversation. This movie, it sounds like the assistant audio guy did it because it's clear that they are not in the same room. Like, the acting of it doesn't sound like they're talking to each other. It sounds like they're talking it to themselves.
Right.
And when it's edited, it's literally not edited like they're talking to each other. It's clear that they're playing lines over each other. It's like they never finished the final audio mix.
That's awkward.
It's really bad. It's very like there's a point where they're arguing and Harley Quinn is like Killer Frost is yelling in the background like, hey guys, and it's clear that she's not interrupting them. It's just like layered on top of each other. Really, it's just really weird, mediocre voice acting. I did like that it had some really dark kind of stuff and some sexual stuff that they would not be able to get away with and lighter tones, but it's very anime based and it's just alternate continuity and it's a little weird.
So your overall impression is that it was not good?
No. Overall, it's eh.
All right. There not it great. Is. What?
Was that what you were hoping it was?
I was, but it's all right.
You know, I never botched this bit ever.
No, but you botched at life.
Wow. hurtful.
It's that time of the night. We turn on the black.
Ha! Oh, there's the D&D music. How about that?
Hand-handed. Botch this, botch that.
All you have to do is set up one bit. One bit you have to set up. I want to
set up the bit. Mush it into one of Tiamat's faces.
Yes, that, of course, is the D&D music, which means it is time for our D&D update for the week. And this week, and the reason we're kind of putting this here at the end of the show is because we have a special advanced preview copy, if you will, of Dungeons The Rise of Tiamat. Huh?
Dungeons & Dragons Advanced?
What do you mean?
It's back.
It's 5th edition.
Never mind.
I don't get it. It's The Rise of Tiamat. Did now, this is.
Just have a stroke? What just happened?
I think he had a stroke. Nope. The Rise of Tiamat!
A stroke of brilliance.
Oh my God, shut up! The Rise of Tiamat. This is the second in the series called Tyranny of Dragon Adventures. It's a hardcover book, and it's for characters of levels 8 through 15, and it continues the story that they started in the first Tyranny of Dragons book, which we did not cover yet, but we're actually going to talk about that next week. The reason we want to talk about this, though, is, one, it reintroduces Tiamat into the D&D universe, and the whole thrust of this thing is that evil forces are trying to bring Tiamat back into Forgotten Realms.
Okay.
Which I presume he has been gone in, or she, I guess it's a she. I'm forgotten. She has been gone in.
Is Tiamat
a she? A she, yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
The queen of evil dragons.
I guess I never really assigned gender to dragons
before. I did. I assumed male because in the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon...
Did they have dongs?
No, he definitely had a... No, it had a male-ish voice, I would say. But well, I guess
it,
that was
wasn't it, what's sexist his name,
of me. Lay an egg?
Oh, no. I was thinking of Venger.
Sorry.
Venger. No, Venger was Venger. Venger. Was,
yeah, yeah.
Totally a dude wearing a dress.
Yeah, but not that was, the point. That was Cullen. Peter Cullen did Venger, didn't he?
Did he?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, he would have done it, wouldn't he? So this one, so let's just take a minute and talk about the difference here. This is a module.
Ooh.
Right? So this is the second module they've produced now for 5th edition, but it's released as a hardcover book.
Okay.
Doesn't have any sort of takeout materials that I'm aware of. Maybe they have some online components that you can print out. I didn't actually check and see if that was the case. But, and it runs... $30.
That's a lot for a little book.
Yeah.
So as someone who doesn't know anything about D&D.
So modules.
Is it basically like, can a dungeon master use that to run a campaign?
Yes, with that's exactly what it is.
And this will be part two of that campaign. Part one was a different book, which we're going to talk about next week. But I wanted to talk about this because we have a special advanced copy. I got to read a little of it. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Really great stuff, as a matter of fact. But I think the format is really where OG and I
don't
probably
need a hardcover module.
I don't need a hardcover module.
I'm modules used to be a nice little soft cover.
Yeah. What they used to be. Like $9 to $12. Yes. It was like a little folder, mm-hmm. right? It was the only part of it that was in color for many years. And then it had an inside, it had sometimes it had maps.
But even in later editions, even when it wasn't a little folder, it was a soft cover book.
It was
a smaller.
Yeah.
It wasn't
$15 price tag, maybe.
I feel as though they're going for a presentation displayability with their books.
Content?
I just don't know.
No
offense.
Not the same amount of content.
No offense. I don't.
It's a little bit more content.
I can't I can't justify $30 for that book. No offense. Like, I'm sure the module is great. I'm sure the gray matter is epic. I would not comfortably pay $30 for that.
There is a lot of information in here.
I'm not saying there's not.
It's beautiful. I'm just saying, I just want to make sure that we're saying what the great parts of it are.
It's
production value is amazing. The artwork, the color pages, even the sort of parchment feel and look to the pages is terrific.
I'm just saying they should re-release it in soft cover.
I don't disagree.
At a lower price point.
At a much lower price
point. So collectors can have a hardcover edition.
Yeah.
And gamers can have a soft cover edition.
Yeah,
because modules tend to get beat to shit.
Always.
Right?
Maybe that's why they made it hardcover.
No, because you're gonna spend $30 for that and your insides are gonna say keep it pretty. And modules don't stay pretty. It's just the nature of consistently rummaging through it to play the game out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's something like you would be constantly referencing.
No, right. I get it. Yeah. Like, no one's dictionary, if they're using it, should look like they bought it.
Like they just bought it. Get it. Right.
That's really
what I'm saying. And that's why dictionaries are in paperback.
Right. But maybe the reason why they went hardcover is they think it'll prevent the decay of the book more.
I don't disagree with that. I think that may very well be part of their idea. However, at $30 price point,
that thin.
Do they not have, is there not an iPad version of this yet? Like, wouldn't that be easier to rummage through a digital version that you could search?
I don't know that there is a digital version of this for use with 5th Edition Player's Handbook, Monster Manual, DM Guide.
Shouldn't there be like a D&D library?
That would be pretty awesome. Could you imagine if they did? Could you imagine if they got the rights to a bunch of the old stuff and did like a D&D digital library?
Well, I'm just saying, then you have all the modules.
Is that a thing, maybe? That we're just not aware of?
A DM mode, where you can keep track of characters and stuff.
Yeah.
And then if you wanted to, you can have an extension, which is like maps. Like, everyone could have their phone, would have their characters.
It could be an app, and your player sheet could be in there.
Oh, yeah. That would be
pretty cool. All right, we'll be right back.
we want to go patent this idea.
Kickstarter coming next week from Midcast Geek Stuff.
Although we may be too late for that, but we're not going to check out now. But you at home can check out DungeonsandDragons.com. It's all spelled out. The fine folks at Wizards of the Coast, I think, are doing the right thing with 5th edition as a large picture.
Yep.
I don't know that I agree with hardcover modules, especially if the price point is going to be $30. I think I'd be okay with a softcover one at half that price. Yeah. Even if it was in black and white.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe in, you know, I think... I agree with OG. I think they're kind of going at the collector's angle a little too hard. But I also agree with the scapegoat that the fact that we used to beat the crap out of these things, maybe we'd like these things to last a little longer now, so maybe this is the way to do that.
I think what I was trying to say was I used to beat the shit out of my modules, but they never fell apart because they were still really well made.
Totally.
But I felt comfortable beating them up because I had only paid $10 for them. Yeah. I would not feel comfortable beating that up at $30.
I totally agree.
I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know what we can all agree with? That the wrap-up music is playing.
That's true.
So I do want to throw one quick plug out before we go into the regular hour plugs. If you are local to this northern New Jersey area.
Oh, we didn't talk about these.
We'll save them. Save them for next week. If you're local to the northern New Jersey area,
you will be saved.
And maybe you want your first tattoo, or maybe you want a tattoo in general. A friend of the show, a listener to the show, runs a shop in Elizabeth, New Jersey, Victorian Ink. He's having a $31 tattoo day this coming Saturday from noon to 8. Of course, there's criteria in order to qualify for that.
Handcuff arrow?
No, not for this.
Oh.
Not for this event.
Oh.
Rebels logo, maybe, I'm thinking. The Star Wars Rebel logo, I'm thinking. But we'll get there. But anyway, but if you are local, check out Victorian Ink in Elizabeth, New Jersey. He's a great artist, great guy, fan of the show, and check out his event. Check out his event this weekend.
Freeze arrow?
No arrows. No arrows this time around.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of work that goes into what I want to do.
Oh,
because of what I have access to image-wise.
Okay,
that it would fall outside of the criteria of this particular event.
I see.
That being said, don't forget you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. You can find us on Twitter at geekstuffog,
scapegoat gs,
bkgeekstuff.
Also, YouTube and Facebook are the same. Bkgeekstuff is the channel and the Facebook page, so check us out over there. You can check me out over on Instagram. I'm geekstuffog over there. I'm posting show content as well as some of the exclusives that we still have for sale. Speaking of which, exclusives that we still have for sale after the con, our R2 Dalek pieces are still available. The Baby Deadbeat blind bags are still available. The G.I. Joe prints are still available. And some of those we will also have with us at Geek Flea 8 coming up November 15th in Kearney, New Jersey.
When? November 8th?
15th.
Oh, 15th.
November 15th.
Got it.
In Kearney, New Jersey. So be sure to check that out as well in a few weeks. And I think that might be it.
You should keep reminding me because I just have a feeling I'm just going to show up on November 8th. And it'll just be a church.
Yeah, don't do that. That'd probably be
that would be weird.
11:15 in Kearney, New Jersey. Geek Flea 8. So come check us out there. And unless you guys have something, I think that might be it.
Yeah. Actually, I just want to put a tease out there, OG, for next week's show. Something we're going to be talking about. I have in my hot little hand here. All I'm going to say is this. What if Puck were Batman? That's all I'm going to say about that. And with that, OG, I think we will bring this episode, episode 248. 348. I was going to say, we did a 300 thing, didn't we? 200, no, 300.
Episode 300, Big Kev.
Yeah, come on.
Shh. Sorry. Episode 348 to a close, the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Elizabeth Pena, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music. Everyone else gave me the run around. I was so unsure and hurt.